Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 12. We have been in these verses 28 through 34, the last 8 weeks. And I promise you, we are moving beyond verse 34 after today. But we have spent these last 8 weeks in Mark 12, verses 28 through 34, specifically because these are very, very important verses. They're so important. And as followers of Jesus who are seeking to run this race of faith with endurance so that we can win the prize, we've got to understand what Jesus is teaching here. And so let me just do a quick review. We talked about how Jesus said we are to love. We are to be a people of love, not only speak the truth in love, but to live a life of love. I absolutely love what Ridgely said. We are called to love even when the world tells us to be angry. That phrase is going to live in my mind. It's powerful. We are called to love, called to be a people of love. Well, who are we to love? Jesus says we are to love the Lord. There is no God but Yahweh. There is no God but God. And so we are to love the Lord with all of our heart. And we talked about what that means. We're to love the Lord with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And we looked at each one of those components because they are vital in how we are to love the Lord. And then last week we talked about how we are to love our neighbor. And today we're going to talk about loving ourselves as properly understood. We've spent considerable time in these verses because these verses are important. They're central and critical to our understanding. Last week, Rob actually sent me a picture of a woman who had written an article to the paper. As he shared that with me, I said, I've got to share this because her sentiments sum up so beautifully why these verses are important. But this is what a woman named Mary wrote in her letter to the editor. She said, "We need only two commandments, not 10. She says, "I like simple solutions and look for them everywhere. You know, clean, straightforward, ready to go." So, a scholar of the law asked Jesus which commandment is the greatest. Like, what's the moral axis that keeps us all from spinning out of control? The teacher replies, "You shall love the hidden Holy One with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Two commandments, no list of 10, of which 8 are shall nots, just 2, both positive and outward facing, applicable everywhere, in every circumstance, at all times. Easy to memorize, recognized by many, including school-aged children, across all traditions, everywhere, straight ahead, essential character formation, suitable for any classroom wall. Honor the hidden sacred. Honor the sacred in your neighbor. In a culture that prizes bite-sized inputs, 2 is better than 10. Outward-facing positive reaches farther than self-facing negative. It's a simple solution, both useful and beautiful, that boosts the prospects for our species' survival. Simple? Yes. Easy? Some adjustment of mind, attitude, and heart is required. I like that letter to the editor. Thanks, Rob, for sending that to me. And it summarizes why these verses are so important and why we've camped out in these verses for 8 weeks. Now, what I've done these last 7 weeks is I've read this passage to you from multiple different translations of the Bible. So Renee and I went to lunch after church last week, and I sat across from her and I said, "I don't know which version I'm going to read for this coming Sunday." I said to her, "I think what I'm going to do is write my own paraphrase of these verses." And somehow in the conversation, we got to talking about Let's ask AI to paraphrase these verses for us using different vernaculars. And boy, did we have fun. So we're going to have some fun this morning in church, okay? Now, you need to know I take the scriptures very seriously. I really do. I hold God's word in high esteem. But we're going to have a little bit of fun with these verses today. So, to begin, I asked AI, translate Mark 12, 28 through 34 using pirate language. And it came up so beautifully, and I started reading it, but then I said, wait a minute. There is someone in our church who does pirate better than anybody, and that's Tim. And so Tim is going to read this passage using pirate vernacular, and he even dressed the part.
Sorta. One of them clever scribes came up and growled, "Arr! Which command of the Almighty be the mightiest treasure of them all?" And Jesus, that captain, answered, "Listen close, you scallywags. The Lord our God be the true captain, and there be none other worth swearing fealty to. So hoist your heart, soul, mind, and strength for him alone. Love him with all you got, or be prepared to walk the plank. The second be like unto it," he added with a wink. You couldn't see that, right? "Treat your mateys like you'd want to be treated yourself. No greater law there be than these two golden rules." The scribe nodded, stroking his beard. "Aye, you spoke true, master. Worshipping the one captain and loving your shipmates be worth more than a hold full of doubloons. Aye, even more than sacrifices of rum and riches." Seeing he answered wisely, Jesus tipped his tricorn and said, "Arr, you're not be far from sailing into the kingdom of God." And none dared ask him further questions, lest they be made to walk the plank of wisdom.
I love it. I love it. Give my hand. That was spot on. I told you, no one does a pirate better than Tim. And now we know what he's going to be for Halloween, too. So there you go. Next, we asked AI, would you translate Mark 12, 28 through 34 using Gen Z language? And it came up with some really cool, and I was going to read it, and then I thought, I'm just going to have a Gen Z read it. So Sammy, come on up and read this passage for us using Gen Z language.
Okay, someone asked Jesus, "Hey, so out of all God's rules, what's the most important one?" Jesus replied, "Listen up, God is the real deal, period. So love God with everything you've got, your heart, your soul, your brain, and all your energy. That's priority number one. Second, treat other people like you want to be treated. Nothing else tops these." That dude said, "Facts, teacher, you nailed it. Loving God and loving people is way bigger than any ritual or tradition." Jesus was like, "You get it. You're super close to what God's all about." And nobody had the nerve to question him after that.
Great job, Sammy. I love it. Absolutely love it. Great job. One more. We were having so much fun with this. I asked AI, translate Mark 12, verses 28 through 34, using 1920s speakeasy. This is what it came up with. One of the sharp fellows in the crowd piped up and said, "All right, buddy, out of all the rules, which one's the real cat's pajamas?" And Jesus shot back, "Listen here, toots. There's only one big gig. God's the real McCoy, the one and only. So put all your pep, your noggin, your ticker, and your guts into loving him. And don't forget the next part. It's a real humdinger. Treat your neighbor like they're the bee's knees, same as yourself. That's the whole shebang. No law, no burnt offerings, no jazz compares to that." The smart guy nodded, saying, "Say, that's the berries. You hit it right on the nose. There's one God, and giving him the big love and treating folks swell is worth more than all the temple razzmatazz. And Jesus, with a grin, told him, attaboy, kiddo, you're not far from the kingdom. You're closer than you think. So I thought we would have fun with all that. Embedded in there, Jesus quotes the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6 that observant people of faith would recite twice a day, once in the morning, once at night, to remind them to stay on track with what matters most. So would you stand with me and let's recite the Shema together from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Lord, we had some fun this morning listening to your word in different vernacular, but the truth of it is all there. We are to put you first. We are to love you with everything we've got, and we are to turn around and love others. Help us, Lord, to actually put this into practice. Help us to be a people of love, even when the world tells us to be angry. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. We are to love God. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. There's a couple of different ways we can look at this passage. And let me start with the first. The first way to look at this passage about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves is we've got to remember who Jesus was talking to and who he was talking about. All this started when a teacher of the law came to Jesus. He was talking to the religious elite, the Pharisees, the know-it-alls. These were the people who had religious and political power. These people had no issue in loving themselves. They did love themselves. They loved themselves a lot. Next week, I promise, we're going to get out of verse 34 and move on. But next week, we're going to look at, for example, verses 38 through 40 in Mark chapter 12. This is how much the religious people of the day loved themselves. Watch out for the teachers of the law, Jesus said. They like to walk around in flowing robes. They like to show off. And be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. That's how much they thought of themselves and loved themselves. Jesus says these men will be punished most severely. So the issue was not that they didn't love themselves, it's that they loved themselves too much. They loved their positions, their titles, their money. They were in love with themselves. And so it was not a matter of them not loving themselves enough, but it was that they were not loving their neighbor as much as they loved themselves. Now we saw this last week when we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. We looked at the Gospel of Luke and one of Jesus' most famous parables. A man was beaten half to death, was on the road dying, and who walked by him because they didn't care? A priest and a Levite. They just didn't care. They cared for themselves and their own well-being, but they didn't care. Most of us, I won't say all of us, but most of us in general, because we are tainted with sin, most of us think more highly of ourselves than we do. We think we are entitled, we think we are deserving, we think we are more important and more special than we think we are, and certainly more than other people. You may have seen a few weeks ago this crazy thing at a major league ball game. They call her Philly Karen. Have you seen this? We've got a picture to show you. So what happened here at this game was a foul ball went into the stands, and the dad there walked over to grab the ball and give it to his son. Well, this crazy lady, Philly Karen is what they're calling her, she walks over to this dad and this little boy, and she felt so entitled, so important, she berated them and said, "That was my ball, that was my ball, give me the ball, give me the ball." Did you see this? It's crazy. And the dad, to his credit, didn't fight back. He just gave her the ball, and she walked away feeling pretty good about herself. Oh, but the internet had fun with her. What's cool is that I guess the ball player who hit the ball invited the dad and the son back, gave him a baseball bat, gave him all kinds of gifts, and the organization handled that very well. But if we want to really take a long, hard look at ourselves, most of us think of ourselves more importantly than we really should. Now, what's really cool is this last Tuesday, several of us went to the M's game in Eugene. It was their first playoff game. There were a lot of foul balls being hit. One of them came to the guy that was sitting directly next to Sammy. And I mean, the ball just landed in his lap, and the guy caught it. And to this man's credit, immediately, there was a little girl, just a tiny little girl, like a couple rows ahead, and he just leaned over and gave her the ball. I looked at that guy, I don't know if he saw me, but I gave him two thumbs up. That was the right thing to do. And that was really cool. But we need to be aware of the fact that we do have some tendency, like the Pharisees did, to think more highly of ourselves than we should. That's why we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, these important words. The Apostle Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should." In other words, we need to stay grounded and not puff ourselves up like the Pharisees did, and think of ourselves more highly than we should. I was fortunate to be raised in a godly home. My mom and dad took us to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night, every Sunday night. And not only that, but they lived their faith day in and day out. And so I was very blessed to be raised in a godly home. And not only that, but we had family devotions every single night. Every night, except Sunday night, because we were in church, and Wednesday night. My dad took the lead, and he'd call my brother and I in, and we'd have family devotions every night. And we would read the scriptures and sing a hymn, and it was very formative for me. One of the things my dad liked to do to kind of keep it light and make it fun is he loved Bible trivia. And so every so often we would do Bible trivia. That's partially why in our bulletin here for the next several weeks you're going to have fun facts about the Bible and different Bible trivia things to get you thinking about the Bible. But this is in large part influenced by my dad, who just loved Bible trivia. One of the things my mom taught me at a very early age, I mean, I was little, super little, but this was one of the first things that she taught me that have resonated with me to this very day. And I can still hear her voice teaching me this. When she would say, "John, we need to put God first, others second, and ourselves last." It was one of my first Christian education teachings, I remember. And it was at home from my mom. God first, others second, and yourself last. And there's an order to that, and that's the order that Jesus gives. We are to love the Lord our God. We are to love our neighbor, love others, and we are to love ourselves. If we really love our neighbor as we love ourselves, not only will we elevate them to our level, but even higher to us. We will let them know that they are loved and appreciated even more than we love and appreciate ourselves. And so I think the first issue here is that Jesus was talking to these people who loved themselves more than they should, because they were neglecting to love other people. But there's a second way we can look at this passage, which is just as important, and I think it's this. There really are those of us who do struggle with loving ourselves, feeling worthy of being loved, struggling with worth and self-esteem issues. And I think we need to talk about that for a little bit, because sometimes we think of putting ourselves last means we put ourselves last, that we don't take the proper care to take care of ourselves and to really nourish our soul. And so there is this tendency sometimes to forget ourselves and to forget that we truly are loved by God and that we are lovable, and that we can receive love, because it's in receiving love that we then give love. There are those who take the extreme position that we should not love ourselves. Several years ago, many years ago, I have a Calvinist friend who I still love dearly to this day. And he was a Calvinist, you got to remember that. But he gave me this book called The Danger of Self-Love. And basically the premise of the book is that self-love can be taken to the extreme. And he talks about pride and ego and things like that. I do think he takes it too much to the extreme in that we still should not neglect caring for ourselves and loving ourselves, because it's only when we love ourselves in a healthy, godly way that we then can turn around and love others. There are still those who take it even to the way extreme and practice in different religious traditions something called self-flagellation, where they will whip themselves and beat themselves because they feel so unworthy of any of God's goodness or God's love, that they go to the extreme of just literally beating and whipping themselves. And that's certainly not acceptable at all, because we are worthy of God's love, and we can love ourselves in a healthy way so that we then can turn around and love others. I'm not a part of too many social groups online, but I am part of a men's group, and several weeks ago, a guy posted this post that I want to share with you because it was very appropriate for today. It's a guy named Ed who posted this, and let me read it for you if you can't see it in the back. And this is a group where guys just speak freely about what they're going through in life. And Ed writes, "Was sitting here getting ready for work and thinking about who I was, who I am, decisions I've made, why some things I just cannot change. Then I realized what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is or how to change it, but at least now I understand why, that no matter how much I want to change things, I don't and can't. The answer is actually very simple. I hate me for lots of reasons, and I have for most of my life. There's a small peace in knowing that." And I've come to realize a lot of people, and in particular, guys, kind of can relate with what Ed is talking about. But I was impressed with the response that a guy named Jay gave him, and I want to read Jay's response to him. He says, "Ed, if you're still breathing and going to the trouble of getting up in the morning and bathing and eating and going to work, and have taken an inventory of what you have done or not done, and think or know you could or should have done better, that means there's a standard and you believe you've missed it. Even if this is true, and I've missed plenty, it means perhaps you haven't lived up to what you thought you would or wanted to. Perfect. This is the opportunity to begin again. God's mercies are new every morning, and forgiveness is really available, and strength and vision and many other things to equip you for good works and better things." He goes on and he says this, "You've lost or perhaps never had the vision God has for you and how he feels about you and views you. Go to God in prayer. Read the word. Look at what God says about you. God loves his son, Jesus Christ. He is our substitute. Because of what Jesus did, God can now accept us as perfect and sinless, and we can approach the throne of grace boldly and with confidence, even if we don't feel it. As an example, is there something you would be willing to do for someone? Whatever it is, whether small and seemingly trivial or huge and sacrificial, that you wouldn't do for yourself or allow another to do for you. This is because there's a disconnect in how you view others versus yourself. We are supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to esteem others as better than ourselves and not consider ourselves better than we are, and yet we are to consider ourselves properly and accurately. You are worthy of love, and the love you give to others at minimum is what you deserve. There is always hope. Always room for change and redemption and progress. Go forward and keep going." What a great response from Jay to Ed. And I love this group because when guys struggle, and guys do struggle, they find encouragement. And I wanted to share that with you because I think a lot of us need to hear that message. We do need to take care of ourselves so that we can properly love others. Some of you know Pastor Jeff Brown. He pastored at Fairfield for several years and then moved away, and I'm still not happy with him for moving away. But I mentored him for his year of mentoring before he was ordained as an elder in the Church of the Nazarene. And I remember one time I was meeting with him, and he was just feeling really down, really discouraged. There was a lot going on in his life, at the church, and his family. And I was listening to him go on and on for a while. And finally I said to Jeff, "Jeff, when's the last time you did something for yourself?" And he thought for a minute, and he couldn't really think of anything. I said, "Jeff, what's one thing that you just enjoy doing? What's one thing you do that just refreshes your soul, that helps you take care of yourself?" And he thought about it for a moment. He said, "I like to bake." "I like to bake." I said, "Jeff, when's the last time you baked a cake?" And he thought about it for a while. He said, I can't even remember the last time I did that." I said, "Jeff, you're going to make this a priority this week. You're going to set aside some time. You're going to get everything you need. And you are going to bake yourself and your family a cake." And he was a little bewildered and a little confused. And I said, "Jeff, it's okay to love yourself. It's okay to take time to do that which refreshes your soul and builds you up, because that fills you up so that you then can love on others." And to his credit, he did. He took the time and he baked a cake. And when I met with him next, he said, "John, thank you for encouraging me to do that. That's exactly what I needed to do." And so I just want to say to you, we are to love ourselves in a healthy, godly way. Take care of yourself. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should, but still think of yourself as loved and redeemed by our Lord, because you are incredibly loved by our Lord. And you're loved by others. And it's important to love ourselves. Take time to do that which refreshes your soul. Love yourself so that we then can love our neighbor.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.